Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to switch up a little bit this morning and conclude with our praise and worship. You may turn to Psalm 116. We're going to spend some time in Psalms 116. We spent some time last week in Psalm 23, and John talked about the Psalms this morning. And again, the songs that Merlin picked also this morning were very fitting. That goes well with this psalm. And before too long, I'll have a picture, not now, we're not going to put it up now, but I have a picture from a tree that I found on the Appalachian Trail as I was hiking with my dad. And so this tree is kind of the inspiration of this message. And I searched to find a passage or scripture that went with the picture of this tree. And so that it kind of I found and was led to Psalm 116. So again, I'm excited for what God has for us this morning, and I'm ready to jump into this. In verse 1 of Psalm 116, it says, "I love the Lord because He heard my voice and my supplications." And we'll just pause right there. No other psalm starts with, "I love the Lord." Psalms 18 starts with, "I will love the Lord," and is a little similar to this psalm in the first six verses, but there's not another psalm that starts with, "I love the Lord," that statement. And the author David, he says here that he loves the Lord just because why? He hears him. It says, "He heard my voice and my supplication." And David was a great warrior. He was a great man of faith. He was not a wimp. David was not a softy. He battled lions and bears with his hands, as recorded in 1 Samuel 17:36 and 37. He was a strong man. And yet, here in this one verse in Psalm 116, we find David stating that he loves the Lord. Why? Because God heard his voice. Of all the reasons that David could have declared his love to the Lord, he picked this reason. Of all the things, of all the interactions, of all the Goliaths in David's life, he picked the reason that he said, "I love the Lord." He picked that reason because God hears his voice. And I think also that we can have that same confidence that David had. What comfort that we have when we know that God hears us. God hears you. What would you say to God? If you had two words to say or one word to say, what would you say to God? So we're going to try that, okay? Just outside your box this morning, everybody think of a word, and then we'll say it all together at once, okay? So think of a word. What would you say to God, a word or two? Are you ready? On three, we're going to say it. Ready? One, two, three. Say it. Thank you. Thank you. That was not confusing to God. He heard us. He heard you. He heard exactly what you said. And with all the confidence in the world, I truly believe that God hears us. But even though He hears us, He doesn't do always what we want. And God hears us, and that's truly comforting, but we also have to remember that He is God, and we are not. And He does what is best for us in light of eternity. I heard this one place, and it worked where I saw it, but I've been scared to use it. Have you ever been confronted with someone who is, confronting or contradicting your faith? Have you been confronted with having a conversation with someone who says, "How can God be God when He lets all of these bad things happen?" Have you been confronted with that? How can you answer that? And I heard an answer for that. But it was so harsh, I almost didn't feel like, I haven't used it yet. I've been scared to. But an answer for that, that how can God be God when he lets all of these bad things happen, is that the person I saw said, well, what's your name? And they said, well, my name's Frank. I said, okay, Frank, I'm going to pray to you. Oh, all of a sudden, Frank doesn't know either. But it's so true. God is God and we are not. It doesn't say, and David doesn't declare that he loves the Lord because he did what he said. He says he loves the Lord. I love the Lord because he heard me. David knows completely that God does not always do what we want. And yet, his cry is still, I love the Lord because he has heard me. And in verse 2, he continues on. He says, because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. David even pledges more. He pledges his life as long as he lives because God listens to him. And God listens to you too. What peace to know and to have that God inclines his ear to you. I love that picture in my mind of God on his great throne, scooching up to the front edge and leaning down over and inclining his ear to me. What a picture. Do you believe that? And if so, what is your response? Because David says, I will call upon him as long as I live. Because God inclines his ear to him. And again, do we believe that? Do we believe that God inclines his ear to us? And if so, what is our response? David commits his life to him as long as he lives. In verse 3 and 4, it says, the pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. And brothers and sisters, this is something that God will do every time. He will deliver your soul. He will deliver your soul. But God does not always deliver our bodies. But he does promise that he always will deliver our soul. This is a promise to his children, to those who are saved by faith through Christ. This is our promise today. The Lord will deliver your soul. I wish sometimes that he would deliver our bodies. And I am sorry for some of you that he does not deliver your body. Pain is no fun. Eating disorders and mandatory diets are no fun. Physical ailments are no fun. No one wants to be sick. Bad knees are a pain. Sore backs are annoying. Headaches can be debilitating. Wouldn't it be great if we could live perfectly on earth? But I'm sorry, but that so rarely happens. In fact, it does appear that God often wants us to suffer. I did actually a message a few months back that said God wants us to struggle. And while hiking the Appalachian Trail with my father, I guess that depends on where you're from. When we were down there, it was the Appalachian Trail, just to be clear. But when you're in North Carolina, it's the Appalachian Trail. I found this tree. And so you guys can put that picture of that, or the little clip of the tree up there. So I found a picture of this tree, and it was growing, and it ran into some turmoil. And it hit another tree, and then it kept growing. It was strange to see. That tree, as you see it go up, actually hit that other tree so hard that the tree that's leaning there split and is open, and that other tree is in the midst of it. And then it comes down, and at the bottom there's even dead, and it's hanging. It's not touching the ground. It's up in the air. It's down into the weeds, but it is not touching the ground, that piece of... But there's a piece of dead on that tree. And yet that tree is still growing. And there's leaves at the top of that tree. It's amazing. I called that tree Never Give Up. I've never seen anything like that. But again, we are promised that our soul is cared for, not necessarily our bodies. The pains of death surrounded me. The pains of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow, and I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. You know, when I saw this verse, I also thought of another aspect of this. I've been involved in quite a few anointing services over the years with anointing for oil, typically for physical ailments or surgeries or problems in people's physical problems with their lives. And very rarely is someone healed as a result of that service. It has happened. It has happened. And I've had that experience. But very rarely is someone healed. But every time they feel better. Every time. There is a peace. There's something that happens. Why? Because God delivers their soul. There is a peace that is not from this world. And yet it's so tangible and it's so real that it does change your outside. It has that ability to. That service confirms your place in eternity, and it enables you to walk on even though still wounded. Even though God does not always heal your body on this earth, He will always, always, always deliver your soul. And David continues on in verse 5. He says, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful." And this verse is true no matter what. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. When we stand before the wall that we cannot see over, or around or through, this verse still is true. You see, sometimes in this life we do feel like we're standing in front of a wall, and we can't see that end of the wall, and we can't see that end of the wall, and we can't see above the wall. And when we touch the wall, it's cold, hard concrete. And yet, here is verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. How could David write that? How can we say that? What if we're facing a wall? Does this still apply? Because what do you see when you face a wall? Not a whole lot, just the wall. David faced many insurmountable walls in his life, and yet here he is, praising God. How can he do that? How can you do that while staring at your wall? Well, if you can't see ahead, look to where you can see. Where's that? Look behind you. Looking back is where this verse works. What does it say? Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. Amen. How do we know that? When we're looking back. That's how we know it. We can't experience that verse looking forward. The truth of this verse is in seeing where we were and seeing how far we've come and seeing what God has done, we can stand up and say, amen. The Lord, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. This verse rings true when we're not staring at our wall, when we're looking at where we came from. David wrote repeatedly, again and again, throughout the Psalms of the faithfulness of God. I mean, many, many, many Psalms are about how God cared for the children of Israel through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through Moses, through the seas, through the wilderness, through the battles, through the droughts, through sickness and famine. Many, many times David went back and explained where they came from. Because he was doing this. He was saying, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. We just have to look back to see him. And David did. And the beautiful part also about this verse is that when we stand before the great judgment throne, this verse will still ring true. God, through the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, is merciful to us who are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And we also, at the great judgment throne, will be able to say, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. David continues in verse 6. He says, the Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Every day God saves us and sustains us. We breathe by his will. We got in our cars and we drove here this morning through his protection. Everyone take a breath. That was a gift. God sustains us. In verse 7, he says, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Return to your rest, O my soul. You see, your world can be in turmoil, and you can't do much about it. But don't let your soul be in turmoil. That's not God's heart for you. Don't let your soul be in turmoil. That's not his intent. God does not desire that there would be turmoil in your soul. God has only rest for your soul, both in this life and the next. And David tries to describe the difference between this world and the next, in the next couple of verses. And it's a little difficult to distinguish the two. I'm going to try. They're very entwined. But verse 8 and 9 says, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And David promises to walk with God as long as he is on earth, because it is the Lord who sustains him and protects him in his very soul. To me, as I read this, David begins with talking about his soul, and then I see it, it reads as if he's keeping his, if God is keeping his eyes from tears and his feet from falling, Now, is that still his soul, or is that, what is he talking about there? And then I had to think. I said, well, I know David cried. There was times that he wept for days. I'm certain that he must have stumbled at least once. He tripped and fell going up the stairs once, probably, in his life. And so I have to conclude that he's talking about spiritual things. The great thing about these two verses is that David says, because of these spiritual reasons. He says, because of these spiritual reasons, I will walk physically on this earth before you, God, at all times. What does David say in verse 8? For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And these are spiritual things. And because of that, David said, I will promise to physically, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. He's saying that I'm going to walk on earth with the Lord because you have protected my soul and my eyes and my feet spiritually. What a commitment. And again, oh, that we may have that same heart towards God, to walk with him all of our days as we recognize the spiritual protection and how he protects our souls and how generously he gives to us. I pray that it would be our commitment to walk with him here on earth all of our days. David also in the next verses had the ability to look back and to be grateful. And he had the ability to look back and see some of his shortcomings. I imagine that David wrote this later in life, but maybe not. That's just my imagination. In verse 10, it says in 11, I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. In his reflection on the past, David admits that he did not know everything. And it is times like these that we all need to check our back trail. It's a solemn call that we need to make right our own family relationships now. This is a solemn call that we all need to forgive now. We all need to love one another now. Because I'm terribly sorry to inform you, but today is all you get. That's it. You just get today. In verse 12, he says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And David says, what shall I give to the Lord? What shall I render to the Lord for his benefits to me? David said, I will take up the cup of salvation. What is that? So he's referring to one of the cups from the Passover Seder meal. I don't know, you guys remember that from a few years ago? We did a Passover Seder meal for communion. We do know that Jesus also observed the Passover with his disciples. And in taking the cup after the meal, that would have been the cup of salvation. How the Jews looked at that. There's four different cups in a Passover Seder. And the first one is, if I'm saying these right, the Kiddush, which means sanctification. The second cup during the meal would be the cup of deliverance, which is to remember all the plagues that the Egyptians had to go through. And then the third cup is the cup of redemption or the cup of salvation. And then the fourth cup, which is called Hallel, which means praise. This is a cup of hope, some people call it. but it's the cup of praise. And did you know that we're reading one of the Hallel Psalms? The Hallel Psalms are Psalms 1, 15, 16, 17, and 18. These Psalms, the Psalms that we are reading, are Psalms that are recited in typical Jewish homes for a Passover Seder meal, especially in Jesus' day, not so much today. We didn't do that at our Seder meal. But tradition would say that these verses in Psalms 15, 16, 17, and 18 would have been recited at a Passover. And tradition would say that whoever's leading the Passover, they would stand up and recite these Psalms. And so, unless Jesus would have instructed one of his disciples to speak, it would have been Jesus who would have stood at the Last Supper and recited Psalms 115, 116, 117, and 118. So let's just pause from David. And let's imagine Jesus reading at the Last Supper Psalms 116, 12 to 19. For what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Sometime as an exercise, it would be good for you to read those Psalms, Psalms 115, 116, 117, and 118, through the perspective of Jesus standing at the Last Supper in front of his disciples reciting those Psalms. So now let's pause from that thought and jump back to David. And then David, his response again to the way that what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And again, taking that cup, and there's four cups during the Passover Seder that David would have been a part of. And we know that there would have been red wine in each of those cups, and that was to symbolize the blood of the Passover lamb. And David said, this is his response, that he will take the cup of salvation, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And then out of nowhere, verse 15, like an inappropriate comment, says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This verse seems so oddly stuck in here. It doesn't go with anything before, and it doesn't go with anything after. It's just kind of plopped in there. And yet, for those who have walked through the valley of the shadow of death, this strangely placed verse brings volumes of peace and comfort to each generation that finds it. It does. And I'm certain it has again this week. And you know, as I thought about this, it is almost more comforting that there's not more said. What more could you say? When you go through that experience of losing a loved one in this life, there's really not much to talk about. In fact, Job's friends came and just sat for days. God, in His humble, perfect way, in which He knows us so well, He knows what we need and how much of it we need. And so He simply comforts those who are grieving with this precious verse. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And David continues on in verse 16. He says, O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. David continues to pledge his life to God. He says he's going to walk with Him, and now he says he's going to be a servant to God. And not just a servant, but an indentured servant. One who is working off a debt that he can't really even pay. David is saying, this is who I am going to be to God. I am going to be the man, God, that, and I will work for you and I will walk with you in a way that I know I can never repay my debts to you. And David makes another commitment to the Lord. And this is the hard one. You thought it was hard before. This is the tough one. Verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. The sacrifice of thanksgiving is the most difficult sacrifice. It is way easier to tie something on the altar and burn it than it is to praise God when you don't feel like it. David promised to God here that he would be thankful to God even when he didn't want to, even when he didn't feel like it. The sacrifice of thanksgiving hurts. To be thankful beyond your circumstances, to be thankful beyond your health, to be thankful beyond wayward children, to be thankful beyond losing your job, to be thankful beyond a car accident, to be thankful beyond whatever you want to name, hurts. And David promised that he will call upon the name of the Lord. And David said, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'm not there yet. That's tough stuff. I wrote, terribly not easy. Terribly not easy. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. David said he will pay his vows. What were his vows? He said he was going to walk with Him. He said he was going to follow Him. And he said he was going to praise Him. And as you read this, Psalms 117 and 118 fulfill his vow. They are praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord all the way through. And then Psalms 119 all talks about His Word. Psalms 117 and 118 are full of David fulfilling his vow to praise the Lord. And Jesus read these same Psalms. He committed to praising God. He recited the praises of the Lord at His Last Supper. David praised the Lord in the face of his problems, and Jesus praised the Lord in the shadow of his cross, within approximately 24 hours of his cross. He stood and praised the Lord. And brothers and sisters, it is our turn. The worship team may come and prepare as we close with a prayer. Dear God, again, we are so humbled by your word. God, we recognize that it truly is alive this morning, that it spoke through David. It spoke again through Jesus, your son. And it speaks to us this morning. And God, we humbly recognize that it is our turn to stand and to sing your praises. God, pray that we would be worthy of the calling that you have given us this morning to praise you, to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. God, you're calling us to a task that is difficult. Pray that you would give us strength to complete it. God, we are thankful that you provide for, that you protect, that you comfort our souls. Help us to connect with that being enough to carry our feet. Give us the ability to walk before you for the rest of our days. Thank you again for your word, God. May it settle into our hearts and take root as we bring you praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.